knocked down to his knees. His health dropped by 10%, and his jaw felt loose in its socket. Enough! I'm here to get my profession, and if I have to fight you to get it, then that's fine by me. He stood up, trying to ignore the pain in his face. He glared at the large man with the gravest expression he could manage.
Ooh, so serious. It seems you are determined for there to be violence. That's fine, but let's keep this gentlemanly, so put him up, put him up!
The man's hair grew into a long mane around his head, and his voice was a dead ringer for the cowardly lion from Oz. Richter looked at Nexus in utter confusion as he pranced around with both fists up. The giant moved his hands like they were cycling a bike's pedals, revolving them in small circles until he threw a quick jab into Richter's nose before prancing off again. Richter was getting thoroughly annoyed. That shit had hurt. He decided it was the last straw. He had been grabbed by some giant fucking hand, dropped down a pit who knew how far, had face-planted in gravel, and then been bitch-slapped by an insane fucking giant. The muscles in his neck grew tight, and the pain in his jaw just stoked the fires of his anger. Maybe this was all a test, and he was supposed to defeat this asshole in a fair fight, but fuck fair. It might be true that a great man met his opponent on a field of honorable combat, but he'd settle for being a good man and just frying the sumbitch. He wove his hands in a specific series of movements and sighted upon Nexus. The giant wasn't more than 10 yards away. Richter smiled slightly as he shouted the word of power, "Stati!" Nexus's body blurred as the lightning left Richter's hands in a white bolt. Despite the short distance, the spell struck nothing but air before dissipating into the wall behind where the black giant had stood. Before he could even look around to see where Nexus had gone, Richter heard a voice speaking from just behind his right shoulder. In a thick Latin accent, Nexus asked,
"Willy Primo, tu wanna play by prison rules? Choque, culo."
Richter felt a massive pull on his left shoulder, and he flew down onto his back. The air fled his lungs like a convict through a prison wall, and he lay there, stunned. Nexus didn't let him recover. Instead, he felt blinding pain as the giant stomped down on his chest. 3 ribs cracked, and a sizable portion of Richter's health bar disappeared. The last remaining air in his lungs was squeezed out of his mouth with a horrible-sounding wheeze. He looked up and saw Nexus's smug face staring down at him.
"Who you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?"
Richter was saved from even attempting to answer because suddenly the man disappeared in a flash of light and a clap of sound. Richter struggled to catch his breath. After a profound struggle, he was able to cast weak, slow heal. His health began to rebuild, but the spell wasn't able to fix his broken ribs. Every breath was like knives driving into his left lung. When he stood, though, he heard a comforting flapping, and Alma flew down to hover by his shoulder. She let out a small and defiant roar at the downed giant. Nexus slowly stood, his back smoking. When he turned to face Richter and his familiar, there was a broad smile on his face.
"I didn't expect that. How did she get in here?"
He looked up slightly, like he was examining a screen only he could see, and his fingers moved in a strange pattern. An orange glow surrounded his hand for a brief second, and then Nexus turned his attention back to Richter.
"She's a soul familiar. I haven't seen that in forever. Well, it explains how she made it into the trial."
Nexus gave Richter a cocky grin and said,
"Still, we can't really have her interrupting our duel. Why don't I summon a little playmate to keep her company?"
The giant started a furious incantation, with his hands moving quickly to complete the spell form. Richter cast weak ice dagger, but Nexus didn't even bother dodging. The icy shard simply broke against his black skin as he finished his chant. A metallic gray egg came into being in front of him, and then slowly faded away. In its place was left a mechanical eagle with a 4-foot wingspan. The tips of its wings were razor sharp, and its beak was hooked viciously. It turned its head towards him, and Richter could see the artificial oculus of its eye tighten as it examined him and his familiar. It flexed its claws as its metallic wings beat, somehow noiselessly. The motion kept it suspended in midair, a feat that would have been impossible for a normal eagle. Nexus looked at the bird and then back at Alma before he said, "Go play." The eagle shot towards them like a bullet, crossing the space between them too fast for Richter to even finish a one-second casting. Instead, he hunched forward slightly and drew the sword on his back in one smooth motion. The green blade swished through the air almost at a 90-degree angle as he tried to bisect the mechanical beast. The eagle surprised him, though. Barely losing any forward thrust, it tucked both wings into its sides and corkscrewed its body. The metal bird basically became a ballistic missile weighing hundreds of pounds, and with its heavy beak leading the way, it crashed into him like a sledgehammer to the chest. His already cracked ribs gave way, and for the second time in as many hours, bone punctured his lung and he coughed blood. Richter fell onto his back with the bird on top of him, and to add insult to injury, it unfurled its wings as he fell. One taloned claw grabbed his armor. The tips of its nails easily pierced his sprite armor. And with a beat of its wings, Richter's collapse was turned into a measured fall. Even through the pain he was experiencing, it was clear to him that he was at the construct's mercy. As if in agreement, it opened its beak and let loose a raucous and artificial-sounding cry of triumph. Alma was not about to let her master be manhandled by some mechanical bitch. Landing on the ground near Richter's head, she looked up at the metallic monstrosity atop him and carefully funneled her psi blast in a cone that bypassed Richter's head but completely encompassed the bird. Her little dragonling heart beat with anticipation and savage righteousness as she attacked the foe that had dared touch her beloved master. The blast of pure psychic energy struck the bird directly in its chest, but nothing happened. Nexus laughed loudly.
"Psychic attacks might not be your best option against the mechanical construct, Alma, my love. Just one man's opinion. Have fun, you two."
The eagle beat its powerful wings once more while still standing upon Richter's chest. It lowered its head and let loose a scream of defiance directed at the dragonling. The pressure on his chest increased ever so slightly, and Richter knew that the artificial bird of prey was about to launch itself at his familiar. Weaving one hand in the necessary movement, his other crossed his body to grab the leg that was still holding his armor. He thought, "Run!" and finished casting weak slow. A blue glow surrounded the bird for just a moment. Alma didn't like it, but she obeyed her master and shot into the air. A yellow glow surrounded her and her speed increased. Meanwhile, the construct apparently didn't appreciate being held by Richter. It opened the claw that was holding his armor and pressed down. 4-inch-long talons entered his body and blood began to flow. "Yuck!" Richter coughed weakly. One of the claws had pierced his other lung, and an icon appeared in the corner of his vision. It showed a torso with bands of metal around it. He could easily interpret what it meant. He was suffocating, even though he was surrounded by air. Still, he didn't let go of his grip on the eagle's leg. If he was to die, he would give Alma every chance he could to fly away. The construct screamed and beat its wings, but it couldn't get into the air with his deathlock on its leg. Then it looked down at him and slammed its metal head into his tender organic one. It took care not to pierce his flesh with its wicked beak, but his head was still compressed between the hard ground and the mace-like blow. It was too much. He became dazed and his grip released. The eagle shot into the air with a cry, chasing after Alma, and Richter was left bleeding and helpless on the ground. Through his stupor, he thought he heard, "Oh, you know that had to hurt." He came to a few seconds later and immediately reached into his bag and pulled out a healing potion. Richter yanked the stopper out with his teeth and downed the red solution in one go. It immediately started repairing the internal tissue damage, but could only do so much with his ribs still out of position. Still, it helped relieve some of the horrible pain he was feeling. He heard a mechanical attack cry above him and knew he had to work faster. Alma needed his help. Still on his back, Richter dual-cast weak slow heal and golden light surrounded his hands. Blood flecked his lips as he spoke the word of power, but he managed to complete the casting. Healing magic worked with the potion, and he was able to stand again. He looked around to see his enemy leaning against a bedpost, looking up and clapping. The ladies were otherwise occupied with one another. Richter followed the ebony giant's gaze, and his heart dropped. Alma was frantically weaving through the air, trying to avoid the horrible claws of the eagle. She wove and dodged the aerial hunter, which was at least four times her size. If it wasn't for the speed differential that weak slow and weak haste had provided, it was clear she would have already been killed. As it was, Richter was pained to see that red blood fell as she frantically tried to evade death. A gash marred her beautiful dusky scales. Richter was about to pull his bow from his bag when Nexus looked over with an easy smile. His voice was cultured again.
Oh, you're back up. Good. I think I'll take one of your eyes.
The giant rushed at Richter, each large stride devouring the distance between them. Richter had time for one move. Praying it would work, he flexed his legs and jumped away. Nexus reached for him, but before Richter fell to the ground, he finished the casting he had started before he moved. A beam of green energy shot from both of his hands. The dual-cast, weak paralysis beam was twice as thick as what had resulted from his previous castings. It struck Nexus in the chest as his black hand was extended towards Richter. A horrible smile froze on his face as the spell took effect, the pearl whiteness of his teeth contrasting with skin the color of midnight. Richter hit the ground in a roll. He only had 4 seconds before the giant was back on him, and he couldn't waste it. He kept an internal count. 1. Alma, fly to me! The dragonling banked again and avoided the awful talons of the construct by a hair's breadth. She immediately dove towards Richter, the construct just behind. As soon as he was on his feet again, Richter set his feet and wove his fingers in a furious spellcasting. 2. There was no cleverness to Alma's flight now, just pure speed. The aerodynamics of her draconic body couldn't match the artificially streamlined body of the mechanical eagle, though. The distance between her and the eagle decreased by the millisecond, but she trusted her master and would do as he had bid. Power crackled between his hands as she dove straight towards him, and she heard his voice again. Drop! Richter channeled the energies of his spell. The dual casting that had given him such problems in the past now flowed easily and almost without thought. Independent of any conscious decision, both of his hands had half bent into claws and then came together until they were almost touching. He called out a frantic mental warning to Alma, and 2 sparks of light appeared in the cage his hands made. 3! The sparks combined and formed a brilliant arc of white lightning, much brighter than any other he had ever created. The crackling bolt shot towards the space Alma had just vacated. His aim was true, and the lightning sped across the distance to the eagle in a time span measured in milliseconds. The electrical attack impacted against the large bird, and the energy overloaded whatever internal process gave it flight. Its wings locked into place, and it plummeted to the ground. When it struck, it was with a horrible, clanging crash. The bird was only 10 feet away from him. Richter finished his count with satisfaction. 4. He reached for his sword. His hand grasped the hilt, but before he could draw it free, a hand gripped his shoulder and spun him around. A large black fist crashed into his face, and his body flew through the air. Teeth and blood filled the back of his throat, and the vertebrae of his neck ground together as they struggled to protect the delicate spaghetti of his spinal cord. He lost consciousness before he even struck the ground. Alma cried out in her own mind. For the first time, her anger drove her to connect to a mind other than her master's. Leave him alone! A yellow glow enveloped her body again, and lightning shot towards the giant. Nexus just smiled that same arrogant grin. As soon as light began to surround Alma, the giant raised a hand. A disk of crystalline light appeared, and the lightning bolt was drawn to it. The disk absorbed the energy, and then, with a pulse, fired it back at the dragonling. Alma was struck in the head by her own spell and collapsed, just as the eagle had. The bones of one of her wings snapped, and the gash in her side widened, blood pulsing out onto the ground. Nexus tutted at her and cast another spell. A cage of purple light appeared over the dragonling, both keeping her constrained and draining her mana and stamina. He started walking towards Richter, but then paused and looked at the familiar. After a moment's thought, he cast another short spell and gold light surrounded his fingers briefly before winking out again. Alma's breathing eased, and her wings straightened, and her wound closed. The black giant didn't spare her another look. The eagle stirred while Nexus stalked towards Richter. Richter had hit the ground hard. Pain woke him back up, but this time, the damage was too severe for him to recover. His left shoulder had snapped out of joint, and some nerve damage must have resulted, because he couldn't move that arm at all. He turned his head to spit out the teeth and blood filling his mouth, and then raggedly gasped for air. His face was a ruin, and every breath was an agony as bone shards were driven deeper into his lungs. Richter tried to weave his fingers into a healing pattern, but he couldn't recover enough air to breathe out the word of power. Nonetheless, he tried until a black foot stomped down cruelly on his hand, snapping the bones. Richter cried out, blood spattering weakly from his ruined mouth as he saw Nexus's leering face look down at him. The eagle flew into view, slowly circling above them.
"How do you think the fight's going?"
Nexus asked in the smooth, cultured voice that he had first spoken in.
"Personally, I think everything is going swimmingly."
Richter glared up at the giant. Tears leaked out of his eyes, bringing shame to his heart, but the pain skyrocketed as Nexus pressed down harder on his ruined hand. Richter screamed again. The giant smiled and said,
"Maybe we got off on the wrong foot." "Foot, do you get it?"
Nexus ground his heel down, and Richter screamed until he started choking on his blood again.
"Good, you do get it. As I was saying, we can stop all of this. It is not necessary. I can send you home and you can forget all about the fact that I just made you my bitch. I won't even kill that flying rat you seem so fond of. Now how does that sound?"
The eagle landed next to him and drove its sharp beak into his shoulder. Richter squirmed and screamed, but couldn't move anywhere. Nexus started speaking again.
"Come on. You don't really need to be here. Let it go. All you need to say is, I relinquish my profession. Just four simple words. I mean, is it really worth more of this?"
Nexus whistled again, and the eagle tore off a chunk of Richter's shoulder, leaving a bloody hole that drained his blood onto the rocky ground. He passed out again. Nexus twisted his foot, and Richter came back with a sob. Sweat from his forehead stung his eyes and mixed with his tears. Alma revived and cried out to him psychically, but the cage she was in made her too weak to even move, let alone aid him. She almost immediately sunk back into a spell-imposed stupor. Richter looked up again and saw Nexus arch an eyebrow at him, silently asking, "Well?" Richter closed his eyes and mumbled his reply.
"What was that, old boy?"
Nexus asked. Richter coughed weakly and strained to get his limbs free, but still couldn't. He spoke again, his words weak and garbled by the blood in his mouth. Nexus sighed and went down on one knee. Richter almost passed out from relief when the pressure was relieved from his hand. The giant spoke softly.
"Come on. I just have to hear you say the words, and this is all over."
He forcefully grabbed the hair on top of Richter's head and pulled the Chaos Seed's face towards his own.
"So what do you say?"
Richter looked Nexus in the eye and opened his mouth again. He inhaled and then spit a large glob of congealed blood into the man's perfectly sculpted face. Richter began to laugh maniacally, both at his own audacity and in fearful denial of the retribution that he knew was to come, as the bloody spittle oozed down Nexus's cheek. Nexus just continued to hold Richter by the hair as the spittle slowly oozed down his face. Then He shook his head slightly and said almost sympathetically,
"Oh, lad, you shouldn't have done that."
As Nexus started to torture him, Richter learned the truth of that statement. The black giant hurt him again and again. Richter tried distributing his unused attribute points in a bid to get strong enough to defeat his tormentor, but for the first time, he couldn't access his personal interface. Nexus smiled sadistically at him when he tried. With what had become a familiar... he rained blows into Richter's face until the Chaos Seed passed out. Throughout the brutality, Nexus kept him just short of death, healing him when necessary. Intermixed with the torture, the giant kept up a running train of verbal abuse and questions.
"Do you give up? Who do you think you are coming here? I'm not your enemy. You are. No one is going to help you. Why don't you help yourself?"
Richter wasn't allowed to sleep, and for some reason didn't need to eat or drink. His world became only pain as layer by layer, his personality was stripped away to lay bare the core of what he was. After what felt like days of brutality, Richter was limp. The only reason he was not lying in a heap on the ground was that he was held upright by glowing magical bands surrounding his chest. His feet were a few inches off of the floor. He had learned that this was one of Nexus's favorite spells. It made escape impossible and left his body accessible for any torments that the giant could devise. Richter had tried to fight back several times, and each time it had triggered an even worse round of retribution. Nexus had just finished his latest attempt to break Richter's will, dripping acid which would burrow its way straight through him, all over his body, when the giant finally said something different.
"Maybe we can come to a deal. I'm actually getting tired of cutting and burning you. So, how about this? You don't actually need to say the word. Just give me the most valuable thing in that bag of yours. We will take that to be your acceptance of the inevitability of your situation. What did your people always say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. All that is going to happen if you stay here is I will keep hurting you. I will hurt you until the stars burn out. Time moves differently in this place. I'm not making idle threats. I will break your mind until all that is left is a drooling ruin of who you used to be. Or..."
Nexus's face softened, and his tone grew convincingly kind.
"You can be reasonable, be logical, and help yourself."
Richter looked at the giant. The finality in Nexus's voice when he said he would keep hurting him had been terrifying. He believed that the giant would break his mind. He was already balancing on the edge of a precipice. If he had to endure much more, Richter felt like he might snap. He had come to hate the beautiful black face and golden hair of his tormentor, a face that often wore a sadistic smile. Now, though, Nexus's face was a study of compassion. Richter knew he couldn't trust him, but he wanted to believe that Nexus was telling him the truth, that everything would be okay if he just gave in. A deep part of him needed to believe that. It begged and pleaded to just be released from this hell. It was willing to give anything to just stop the pain and degradation. A deeper part of himself, though, stood fast. If it was only his own well-being that was at stake, he would have succumbed long ago. Each time he got close, though, he thought about his people. He thought about Petal, who had died because of his foolishness and pride. He thought about Cedron, who had been mauled because Richter hadn't been strong enough to protect him. He thought about the upcoming battle with the bugbears and other enemies that would inevitably come to find them. Richter knew that whatever suffering he experienced now would be nothing compared to the anguish he would feel if he gave up and his people suffered because of it. So he continued to look at Nexus, trying to stall for time. He knew from experience that the giant wouldn't wait long for an answer, though, so he started inching his hand towards his bag. Nexus's ever-present smug smile deepened, and his eyes widened slightly in anticipation. Richter's hand went into the bag. When he withdrew it, he slowly turned his arm until his fist was upright, with his middle finger extended. Nexus looked at him in disbelief, and Richter laughed or sobbed. He wasn't sure.
This is what I'm willing to offer. A big handful of fuck you. So you better just fucking kill me because I won't stop. That's not who I am.
Nexus's expression became cruel and angry. The giant wove one hand in a series of gestures, and black and red lights surrounded his body. Harsh, guttural words of power spewed from his lips, and then he drove his hand into Richter's chest. Pain worse than anything he had ever felt spread through Richter as his very soul was scorched. Nexus bellowed unintelligently into his face. Spittle landed on his cheek as the giant grabbed the back of Richter's neck with his other hand and screamed,
"Who the fuck do you think you are, you little shit?"
"My name is Enchanter!"
Richter shouted. The answer had come without thought or guile. As soon as it was spoken, he felt the truth of what he had said. A loud bell rang three times, and the giant took his hand away. The red and black fire died out, and Richter cried out in relief. Nexus looked up into the darkness above and cocked his head, listening to something that Richter couldn't hear. When Nexus looked down at him again, there was a smile on his face, but for the first time, it wasn't mocking. Instead, it seemed like a different person was looking at Richter from behind the chiseled black features. Nexus began a casting, and gold light surrounded his arms. When he was done, another light surrounded Richter's body, and all of the pain left him. Muscle re-knit, and his bones bound together. Richter's lacerated organs healed, and his nerve damage was repaired. The many icons indicating the disabilities he had gained during his torture disappeared one by one until he was left whole. Nexus cast another spell, and a wave of green light restored his weapons and armor to perfect condition. With a final wave of his hand, Nexus released Richter from the bands that held him and released Alma from the cage that had kept her in an unnatural sleep for days on end. Richter stared at the giant, thinking this must be the start of some sick new torment. Then he realized that whether it was or not, he had to help Alma. He circled around Nexus, never taking his eyes off the giant, then ran over to where his familiar lay on the ground. He picked her up and was relieved to feel her small chest rise and fall. Richter was relieved to see that she didn't have any obvious injuries. She stirred and then opened her eyes. She looked at him, licked his face, and then asked,
"Did we win, Master?"
He smiled down at her.
"Yes, my love, we won."
He didn't have the heart to tell her that these might be their final moments together. She closed her eyes again and purred. Richter placed her atop his shoulders, and she settled in comfortably. When she wrapped her tail around his arm for balance and fell back asleep, Richter turned his attention to Nexus. The black giant still stood in the same place. His hands were at his side, and he calmly regarded Richter.
"Do you remember what you said?"
Richter licked his lips.
"I said..."
Nexus nodded encouragingly.
"I said, I am Enchanter." "So you are, Tim,"
Nexus said with a bow of his head.
"It has been my honor to help you uncover this truth."
"Uncover what?" Richter screamed at the giant. His arms and legs shook uncontrollably, though he couldn't honestly say which emotion he was feeling at that moment. Anger? Fear? Sadness? Joy? His nerves were scraped raw, and all of his feelings felt like a live wire searing his brain.
"But I wanted to become an enchanter? I could have told you that! You didn't have to torture me! It felt like days, you sadistic fuck!"
Nexus weathered Richter's verbal assault without reaction. When he was done shouting, the giant replied,
"You did not become an enchanter. You have learned that you have always been one. A profession is not a choice. It is who you are. It is what you are. I stripped away the surface layers, the who of how you define yourself, so that you could see the truth of what you really are. You are an enchanter. In time, you may find other truths about yourself."
Richter looked at Nexus, still seething, but the giant's words held the same feeling of immutable truth that he had felt when he had named himself Enchanter. He stared and asked the only question that seemed pertinent. So what now?
Now you return home. From the viewpoint of your villagers, you will have been gone for 1 week. As I said, though, time moves differently here. Though you have experienced several weeks of pain, your body has only aged a fraction of that time. Before you go, however, I was asked to give you a message. Hurry.
Richter looked at Nexus for a long moment. Is there any more to it? If not, you might as well tell me not to go chasing waterfalls. And given a message by whom? He could finally identify what he was feeling. Perhaps the oldest emotion. Anger. A distant and reasonable part of his mind posited that speaking harshly to a powerful being that had just tortured him with impunity might be a bad idea. Another part of him told that part to fuck off, though. If Nexus were going to attack him again, it probably wouldn't be for being snarky. Nexus smiled slightly, again with real humor, completely different from the cruel grin Richter had grown used to seeing.
I was told that you had something to do before you were brought here. Specifically, that you had 7 hours and 14 minutes before your leveling decisions were taken out of your hands. When you arrive back into your village, your personal time will have advanced by only 7 hours and 12 minutes. Hence the message. Hurry.
Let me get this straight, Richter said slowly and with intense irritation. You have been torturing me for a month, but only a week has passed in the land, and I've only aged 7 hours? That makes no damn sense! Nexus smiled wider.
He told me that you would say that. Then he said I should tell you time is not linear, more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey stuff.
Richter had been about to tell Nexus to wipe the stupid smile off his face, but then he stopped. He knew that he had heard that before. He just couldn't place where. Who gave you the message? Nexus cast a spell, silently bringing a black disk into existence behind Richter. He ignored Richter's question and said,
It's actually kind of lucky that you started your trial when you did. If you had finished spending your level points before you came here, you would have been treated as if you were level 28 rather than level 21. Those extra talent points you might have wasted will probably come in handy. It's almost like you have someone looking out for you.
Nexus's expression seemed to indicate that Richter should be picking up on something. Wait, what do you mean? Give me a straight answer, you goddamn... Nexus rushed forward and pushed Richter backwards into the disk. The last thing he saw was the smiling giant winking at him. Then everything was black. Chapter 22, Day 110, Kuralt 29, 15,368 EBG.
He has returned! Lord Richter has returned!
Richter raised his head up from the grass. Looking around, he realized he was in the feast area, and, judging by the smells, it was mealtime. He didn't really remember how he got here, but he must have hit with some speed because his face had been driven into the ground. He had to spit a bit of turf out of his mouth as his people rushed up. It wasn't exactly the dignified homecoming he would have hoped for, but at least he was home. Alma flew in front of him and licked his face while Richter groggily looked around. His mind was having trouble processing. As the villagers surged around him, babbling, Richter tried to make sense of what was in his head, but his memories felt compressed. He quickly replayed the events of the last few days, shuddering sometimes as he relived a particularly bad moment. It took only seconds, but then he remembered the message Nexus had relayed at the end, and his heart began to pound. He quickly checked his status page and saw that he did indeed still have points to distribute. If Nexus was right, though, he only had 2 minutes to do it after coming back, and he had already wasted at least one of them. More and more of his villagers were coming up to him. The fact that he hadn't gotten up from where he was lying on the grass filled some of them with fear that he had been mortally injured or was afflicted with some malignant spell. It didn't help at all that Richter had accessed his personal interface, so it looked like he was randomly staring off into space and mumbling to himself. The villagers' voices grew louder as they started shouting to him. Richter absently noticed that apparently in every world, people believed that if they only spoke louder, other people would finally understand them. With an irritated start, Richter realized he was wasting even more time and just pulled up his status page. First, he dumped the 200% of skill points into enchanting. That done, he quickly looked at the rest of his status page. There wasn't any one area that he was particularly lacking in, but Richter knew he didn't have time to waste. He checked and saw that he had 30 points to distribute and quickly dumped 10 points into Constitution. He could always use more health. He also put 5 points into both Endurance and Intelligence. His eyes scanned the rest of his stats, and in a near panic, he placed another 3 in both Wisdom and Charisma and finished by placing the final 4 into Luck. He pushed accept on all of his choices and breathed out in relief. He had made it. Richter immediately promised himself that he would never leave his leveling to the last minute again. Richter looked around to see a truly large crowd surrounding him. He reached out his hand and one of the guards helped him to his feet. The villagers bombarded him with questions, which Richter answered as best he could. "Yes, I'm fine. No, we aren't under attack. Yes, I'd be happy to talk to your cheating whore of a husband." Tirad saved him just as his patience was running out. He showed up with a contingent of guards who shooed everyone away.
"Welcome back, my lord,"
he said once Richter had some breathing room.
"That's it?"
Richter asked. "No, where have you been, or what's going on? Why aren't you panicking like everyone else was?" Tirad smiled.
"I may not have ever reached such heights personally, but I have met professionals before. The portal to their trial is always a black disk. The hand that Sion and Bayon described was something new, but the trials are set to last a week, so I expected you back sometime today. If you hadn't returned, then I would have started to worry."
Always dependable Tirad, Richter thought with a smile. It was good to be home. It was a bit strange to hear confirmation that he had actually been gone for a whole week, but the village was still standing and Tirad didn't seem panicked, so Richter decided to take a beat for himself. He took another look at Tirad and saw that the companion's gloves, boots, and chainmail pants were now a creamy white color. "New threads?" Richter asked, examining the moonstone armor. The quality was all superb. Tirad smiled appreciatively.
"Crumb, Mr. Thank. The Mistworkers have been working daily to bring in more ore. We did have a problem where one day they did not return. The next morning, I led a squad to the ore vein and found signs of a fight and harvested ore strewn about on the ground. I'm not sure what destroyed the workers, but it was clear why they didn't return. I assigned 2 5-man squads to oversee the retrieval of the metal and safeguard the workers as they returned to the village. Since then, we haven't had any other major issues, though the strike teams have had to kill a few animal predators."
Richter congratulated the captain on a job well done. Then he told Tirad to gather Randolphus and other important people and to bring them to the high table. While he was at it, Richter sent out a mental summons to Futin. Tirad nodded and said,
"Very well, my lord. What are you about to do?"
"Have lunch, man. I'm starving."
Tirad chuckled. As he walked away, the captain said offhandedly that he had dealt with the issue in the mines and that a squad would be patrolling them from now on. Richter thanked him, confused as to what he was talking about, but too hungry to press the issue. He went to the food table and made himself a heaping plate of cold meat and hot vegetables. He sat down and tucked into the meal. After washing it down with a cup of ale, he felt 1,000% better. As he waited for everyone to come fill him in, he checked his notifications. As soon as he opened the first prompt, the sound of trumpets filled the air. Richter looked around in surprise, but didn't see anyone else reacting to the music. He quickly realized the music was only in his head.
"Congratulations! You have discovered your profession. You are an enchanter. Your efforts will bring magic and wonder to the land. A ring is no longer a simple band to you. It is a pathway to power. A sword is not only for a soldier's hand, it can also grant the power of flight. Scoff at those who put their faith in the fleeting might of muscles, or the taxing strength of spells.
Your enchanted creations will last until the universe grinds all stars to dust and their power shall rival the gods. You have earned new talent points. As a Chaos Seed, you earn 15 points per level as opposed to the usual 10. For having 100% affinity in your chosen talent, you receive an additional +5 talent points. For each level, this holds true. For affinities of 95 to 99%, you will receive +3 per level, and then +1 at an affinity of 85 to 94%. As a human, you have no bonuses or penalties to choosing the enchanter profession. Choose your path well. It will affect the progression of your life and most likely determine the nature of your death. Revere your craft. Take your power. Live! You have 160 talent points. Do you wish to expend them? He eagerly selected yes, and then his eyes widened in amazement. The next prompt was unlike any that Richter had ever seen before. It was nearly opaque. What was more impressive, though, was that the background wasn't the standard monochromatic black, gray, or white. Instead, Richter felt like he was gazing into a nebula of shining stars, surrounded by gases of various colors. Rich reds, blues, and greens contrasted with patches of black space, and sprinkled throughout were the shining jewels of stars. Floating above it all was a series of pale blue glass spheres connected by filaments of light. The central sphere was the largest, and it glowed with a soft light. A single word was emblazoned across its surface. Enchanter. 6 glowing filaments extended from the central sphere, roughly following the X, Y, and Z axes. Each of the filaments ended with another sphere attached to the opposite end. More filaments extended out from those spheres, but these threads were dark, and the entire picture grew hazy and distorted past the initial 6 globes. Richter could faintly see more spheres through the haze, but couldn't make out any wording. The 6 attached to the central sphere were easy to make out, however. Each sphere had words written on it. Richter found that he could change the orientation of what he was looking at with a simple thought. He examined each in turn. Increase enchantment potential. Increase the number of enchantment slots on the object you wish to enchant. Increases enchantment slots by 20%. Cost 5 talent points. Deconstruct items. Gain the ability to deconstruct an enchanted item. Increase this talent to improve chance for successful deconstruction and to increase chance of obtaining better items after an item is destroyed. Cost 5 talent points. Increase enchantment success. Increase this talent to improve the odds of an enchantment taking hold by 20%. Cost 5 talent points. Macro enchantment. Increase this talent to have your enchantment affect larger items. This is extremely helpful for creating enchanted buildings, ships, engines of war, and other large projects. Cost 5 talent points. Increase number of charges. Increase the number of charges on items with finite uses. Will increase number of charges by +10 or by 10%, whichever gives greater yield. Cost 5 talent points. Increase enchantment strength. Increase strength of enchantments by 5%. Cost 5 talent points. He frowned. Buying talents was not exactly cheap. True, he had 160 points to play with, but if he had understood correctly, those points were from increasing his personal level 8 times. Once those points were gone, he couldn't expect a large windfall again. Without his bonus as a Chaos Seed and his boost from having 100% affinity, buying just one of these would constitute half of his spending for a level. He had to imagine that the cost would only go up the farther he got into the upgrade tree. He also had no idea what talents were covered by the haze on the prompt. If he went down one line of improvements, he might miss something truly spectacular on another branch. Richter shook his head. He clearly had to learn more about this. He resolved to speak to Randolphus and Glorin to see if either could shed light on the situation. As he waited for everyone to show up, though, he couldn't resist spending just a few of his points. He mentally clicked on the sphere for increase enchantment strength and bought it for 5 points. Richter figured that no matter what happened, having stronger enchantments could come in useful. Both the globe and the filament leading to it started to glow like the central sphere, and the name changed to Increase Enchantment Strength 1. Examining it, he saw that the cost had doubled to 10 points to gain another 5% bonus.
You have purchased Increase Enchantment Strength 1. Total talent points 155.
Something else happened as well right after, he saw excitedly. A section of the talent tree revealed itself. 3 filaments lit up, leading from the talent he had improved to 3 more spheres. The picture resolved to show more upgrades.
Increase weapon enchantment. Accessing this talent will increase the strength of any weapon enchantments by 20%. Talent cost 10 points. Increase armor enchantment. Accessing this talent will increase the strength of any armor enchantments by 20%. Talent cost 10 points. Increase item enchantment. Accessing this talent will increase the strength of any accessory enchantments by 20%. Talent cost 10 points.
These spheres had even more filaments extending from them, but again, the new threads were muted, and everything past those 3 globes remained shrouded. He wanted to see what else he could uncover, but decided to hold off on any further experimentation. Besides, there were more prompts to deal with, and he could see Sion and Randolphus approaching from across the feast area. He quickly accessed them.
You have been offered a quest, Practice Makes Perfect 1. Trust thyself. Every heart vibrates to that iron string. You are an enchanter in the same way that you are a man or a chaos seed. Practice your new profession and honor who you are. Will you enchant 10 items? Yes or no? Reward, 5 talent points. You have completed the quest, Hunters or Hunted 1. At your instruction, Crom has outfitted your hunters with better leather armor and arrows. Nothing special was done to complete this quest, so you will be granted no extra rewards. Reward, 1,250 experience. Reward, village-wide loyalty, +5, +10 for hunters. Reward, +50 relationship points with village hunters. You have unlocked the quest, Hunters or Hunted 2. Speak with one of your hunters for more information. You have completed the quest Splat the Rat. At your instruction, your chamberlain searched through the new villagers and found a human with the knowledge and ability to alter a standard repel vermin charm. Your food stores are now safe from burrower rats. Reward, 1,250 experience. Reward, village-wide loyalty, +5. You have completed the quest Noises in the Dark 1. At your chamberlain's order, your guard captain took a squad into the iron mine and discovered the source of the strange noises. It had been a nest of gibberlings. Though foul-smelling and aggressive, in low numbers, these monsters posed no threat to your guards and were quickly destroyed. Your miners are already back to work and normal iron production rates have been restored. Reward, 1,250 experience. Reward, village-wide loyalty, +5, +10 for miners. Reward, access to the second floor of the iron mine. You have unlocked the quest Noises in the Dark 2. Upon exploring the second floor of the iron mine, signs of more monsters have been found. Sending your miners there without protection would risk their lives. Will you explore the second floor of the iron mine and do what is required to ensure the safety of your people? Yes or no? Reward unknown. Penalty. Failure to accept or complete this quest could endanger the lives of your miners.
He accepted the quests and dismissed the prompts for the completed quests. His people had been busy while he was gone. Richter had never thought that asking Futin to keep Randy in the loop would have ever paid so many dividends. It was true that the rewards for each quest weren't very much, but then again, he hadn't really done anything to complete them. It was amazing that being leader of this community meant he could start delegating not only the work that needed to be done, but also experience-gaining quests. Richter supposed it made sense, though. As the village got larger and larger, if he had to deal with people's needs personally and by himself, then he would be run ragged within a week. He resolved to follow the old adage of the successful administrator: hire good people, then take credit for their work. Before he could ponder the implications of delegating quests any further, his companion and chamberlain walked up. He clasped wrists with both, and then Sion asked,
"Back from your vacation? Always like a lazy human to disappear when there is work to be done."
The sprite plopped down across from him and grabbed some meat from his plate. Richter scowled at Sion, but he could only keep the expression on his face for a moment before he broke out into a wide grin. It was good seeing his friend again. Trust me when I tell you it wasn't a picnic.
Did you come back with anything nice? Sion asked.
Richter raised his arm and made a muscle. You're looking at a professed enchanter. Feel free to be impressed.
Congratulations, my lord, Randolphus said with a bow.
Richter forcibly raised the chamberlain's arm until his hand was up. Then he gave the man a high five. Randy, you totally crushed it while I was gone. Thanks for knocking some of those quests out while I was away. The chamberlain smiled weakly while he shook the hand Richter had slapped. Slapped perhaps a bit too hard considering his 37 strength points.
It was my pleasure, my lord. I always endeavor to provide both for your needs and the needs of the village. If we are done slapping palms, however, there are several matters to discuss.
Richter chuckled and settled in. Same old Randolphus, he thought. The chamberlain proceeded to catch Richter up on the events of the past week. Besides resolving the quests, precious little had actually happened. One of the hunters had been injured by a wild boar, but otherwise there hadn't been any violent incidents. The patrols continued to circle around the borders of the village, but except for the two groups stationed to protect the mist workers, stayed near the walls. Tarad had apparently curtailed all other trips deeper into the mists after the battle with the Scaths. Futin had floated up while the Chamberlain was speaking and now hovered silently over the table. Alma continued to gorge herself on meat off of Richter's plate. At mention of the Scath fight, Richter was suddenly reminded of the eggs.
Randy! Did Futin tell you about the eggs?
Yes, my lord, the chamberlain said, nodding.
We were lucky enough to have found a pair in the second wave of villagers with the skill beast taming. They're a bit eccentric, but I have had them check in with me daily. They say the eggs are doing well. I would like to ask, though, my lord, what exactly do you plan to do with them?
I'd like to tell you that it's all part of some master plan, Randy, but honestly, I have no idea. I have already gained some interesting skills because of the clutch, though. Let's just see the eggs hatched, then we will go from there. Has an enclosure been built around the nest?
It has, my lord.
And is a mist worker stationed there to watch it every hour?
I made a slight alteration to that command, my lord, Randolphus said. With the speed of construction happening around the village, not to mention the mining and shipbuilding, mist workers are extremely valuable. Some of our new workers have very little in the way of useful skills, however. I have assigned 3 to watch the Scath clutch in shifts. In addition, I asked Captain Tarad to station 3 guards in the meadow at all times. 2 to keep other villagers away from the lake, and the 3rd to guard the entrance to the waterfall.
Richter nodded in agreement. Conversation was halted briefly as he stood up to greet Krom, Sumiko, and Shiovanna. He embraced the women and clasped wrists with Krom before having them join him at the table. One of the village women brought more food and drink when she saw her newly returned lord holding court. He got a report from each in turn. Krom told him that the moonstone had been a richer vein than he had originally thought. He had already smelted 2 dozen ingots of the white stone and told Richter that he should be able to make 3 full suits of chainmail armor from them. The dwarf warned that making the white armor would take a fair bit longer to forge than the high steel armor he had been making. Richter nodded, now understanding why Tarad's armor was mismatched. Krom also said that he had been able to master the creation of heavy arrows and had used the moonstone to make 2 bundles of them. Richter thanked him and said he would need to work with him soon anyway to practice his new enchanting profession. He moved on to Sumiko, who said that she had been working with Roswan to make the latrines more sanitary, and she had also dealt with the pit that the hunters threw offal into. It had apparently been breeding a bad disease when she first examined it. She had ordered the entire pit burned for 3 days, and then had cast a series of cleansing spells. There was also a new ordinance that trash was to be placed in a central pit and burned weekly. She said the ash could be used to make a high-quality fertilizer. Richter thanked her. Then he thanked her again. He was truly grateful that she had stepped in and helped to put some new health protocols in place. In retrospect, he should have immediately known that a pit filled with rotting remains was a disease risk. He hadn't seen an outbreak here, but even on Earth, plagues had still existed. True, there was magic here, but didn't that also open the door to magical plagues? Richter started considering the possibilities of that and shuddered. He closed the mental door to that particular brand of horrors and just thanked Sumiko again. Shyvana didn't have too much to report. The ship construction was going well. Krom had done a good deal of work on a scorpion ballista. It would have the capability to fire both bolts and pots of various weaponized potions. The boat itself would take another 5 to 7 weeks to complete. The fact that he had changed his request for her to make a war vessel rather than a simple trading boat also probably had something to do with it. Still, the boosts from loyalty and morale had advanced the timeline considerably. The momentary loss of productivity bonus when he had increased the population of the village was a small price to pay for having so many new workers. Roswan and Tarad had joined the table as well. Richter asked if anyone else had pressing issues to discuss. Randolphus, of course, had his unending list of notes to go over, but when Richter glared at him, the Chamberlain begrudgingly said there was nothing that couldn't wait. Richter nodded calmly, but internally was doing a fist pump and cheer that he had been able to back Randy the reporter down. Tarad, get our war party together. The same people and no one else. We have a challenge to complete. Everyone is to be ready to go and at the gate at midday. Have everyone go by the forge first, though. Krom, outfit them with the best gear that you can. Also, go to the Philosopher's Cauldron and pick up any helpful potions. Speaking of which, how is our newest marvel, Sion? How has Bayon been? Everyone looked at each other uneasily until Sion said,
We have been able to make some potions in the cauldron, but we haven't been able to use any of its abilities.
Why not? Richter asked, confused.
You didn't give anyone permission to use it before you were taken to your trial.
Oh, my bad, he said. He still didn't understand why everyone was looking like they had bad news. If anything, he would have thought that people would be irritated with him for wasting a week of potential potion making. He looked at Sion quizzically until the sprite started speaking again.
Bayon has been having a few issues with the other alchemist, Tabia. They don't exactly mesh.
Ha! Sumiko said. I've seen wet cats with dysentery trapped in a bag that get along better.
Well, thanks for that visual, Sumiko. Richter complained. He turned back to his companion. So you're basically saying that this is a problem that requires my direct intervention?
That might be best, Sion said brightly.
The sprite was clearly happy not to have to be put in the middle of the two alchemists anymore. Fine, I'll deal with that too, Richter said with just a touch of irritation. As I was saying before, Tarad, make sure everyone is equipped with at least some health and stamina potions, because then we're going hunting.
Yes, my lord, Tarad said.
Richter dismissed everyone except for Roswan and Randolphus. Before leaving, Krom handed him the copper cylinder and piping that he had requested. Richter's grin almost split his face in half. He placed the entire 5-foot-long device into his bag of holding. No matter how many times he saw a large object disappear into the small space, it never got old. Of course, that was the way all of his exes had felt as well, he realized. Richter chuckled to himself as the rest of his informal council stood and left. Before Richter could start speaking again, Randolphus placed a small pouch on the table. Opening it, Richter saw that it contained at least 2 dozen glowing soul stones. The Chamberlain said they had been collected by the hunters and the patrol that had cleared the iron mine while Richter had been gone. Richter opened his mouth to ask a question, but the Chamberlain preempted him by saying that the bonus had been paid for each soul. Then the man went on to say that it would be nice if such financial decisions were communicated to him before villagers came up asking for money. Richter took the slight rebuke in stride and said, Yes, dear. Randolphus just gave a long, suffering sigh and flipped through his notes. Richter winked at him and said, You're pretty when you're angry. Randolphus didn't respond.
What can I help you with, Lord Richter?
Roswan asked. As always, the gruff elf's expression seemed fixed into a perpetual slight frown. The mustache on his face shifted like a fuzzy brown caterpillar as he spoke. I've been trying to talk with you for the longest, Roswan. Things just seem to keep getting in the way, though, so I thought I'd take this time and do it now. What have you been able to build so far? Richter asked.
We built another long house while you were gone. I personally believe that real men should sleep under the stars, but I was told that I sounded like a forest-loving maniac. Less than a third of the wall has been converted to stone, but the work speed is improving with the influx of villagers. We're still having to divide our efforts.